On Unforced Errors number 73, the Leafs get their guy, Rob ruins the show, and you might be a Blizzard asshole. How's it going, everybody? Matt Robinson here with you on the Unforced Errors podcast, only on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. You can visit us, find all the archives, all the old shows at tallcanaudio.com, and we are on all of your favorite social media feeds at Tall Can Audio. Check us out there. Man, winter will not let up across the province of Ontario at this point. I'm here in Ottawa. We just got another 10 centimeters dumped on us here today. I know those of you down in the GTA got it even worse. I guess half the subway got shut down due to snow. The DVP was pretty much at a standstill throughout rush hour last night. It's been a complete mess. Things have been a little messy around here. Last week, Maddie Lang jumped on the show twice, gave us a couple of great episodes of the show. A couple of you have asked where Rob is and why we didn't have our usual Sunday night, Monday morning podcast this week. It's really simple. Both Rob and myself were out of town this past weekend, and on Sunday, we were taking the train home, and we're sitting in, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Via Rail, but some of their seats face each other, and you get a table in between yous and whatever, as opposed to most trains or just, you know, a flight or whatever, where they're all kind of pointing in the same direction. So I've got this portable microphone set up, and we throw it down on the table and we just kind of run it. And, you know, wherever the conversation goes, you know, we'll kind of turn it into a show when I get back into the studio. And that was sort of the plan as we were coming home on Sunday afternoon. Also at the table was our old pal, Amy Burke, who most of you know, she's been around for a while. And we're chatting away about a few different things, and it was nothing earth shattering or anything like that. But we're having this problem as we go. And that problem is that my usual co-host and partner in crime here, Rob, is a fucking idiot who can't sit still. And we're sitting there and I have to keep saying to him, hey, can you cut that out? Hey, can you stop that? Because this microphone is sitting right on this little table in between us and he can't stop going and drumming like an idiot. And it's vibrating the mic and it's ruining anything that we're talking about as we go. And you go, hey, fucking stop it. Must have reminded him like three times. So he finally stops doing that, only to replace it with a new, equally annoying sound. He picks up his beer can and he's... over and over and over. And so I get back and I'm going through the audio from what we've recorded. And the train ride's about 2 hours and probably only about 45 minutes of it was fit to air, but that's plenty for a good Sunday night episode of the show. But in the background is just these constant noises from this six-year-old who can't stand still. So I'm sorry, we had to pitch it out. It was completely unusable. You guys would have been roasting me if I'd have posted the show for the distractions and the rattling of the microphone and whatever. So you can blame Rob for that. He'll be back here shortly later this week. We'll get into a bunch of stuff much more in depth. And some of it will be for the second time because he ruined our first recording. As I mentioned off the top, the Leafs have got their guy on defense. Finally, they've gone out, they've made a big trade, try to shore up their defense. I think they've done a nice job. We're going to talk about that in just a little while. I wanted to get to one other thing first. As that deal went down, I kind of mentioned a couple of minutes ago, most of the province of Ontario has been under siege from the weather. And most of us really are just looking for a place to tap out. Like, enough already. It's been brutal, especially here in the nation's capital. But as that's going on, there's an interesting debate going on Twitter. And it started under, for those of you who listen to TSN 1050 in Toronto, Brian Hayes is the host of Overdrive with O-Dog and Noodles. Because, you know, nicknames. And he quotes a tweet and puts it out there for debate. And I thought it was a good question. Are you a shithead? I might be paraphrasing a little bit. Are you a shithead for ordering takeout delivery in the middle of a storm like that? And there's a couple of ways of looking at it. My first thought was no. And many of you said this in the comments underneath. If the sign says open, if you say open for business, I'm going to treat you like you're open for business. And you have the right as a business, once if you feel it's unsafe or you can't properly do your jobs, to close up. And I have no problem with that. But if you say you're open to deliver, it's really not my problem anymore. This is kind of out of my hands. Other people commenting underneath, and I think this is reasonable, saying, yeah, no, you can go ahead and you can order delivery, but you should probably be prepared to tip pretty well. Saw a couple different delivery guys themselves post underneath to say, yeah, no, we still need to get paid. We're still looking for some work, but it'd be great if you could keep your laneway shoveled and a light turned on. And that seems fair enough. And a guy that manages a restaurant that delivers, he said, we're still happy to take your order. But if you're a complainer, if you're somebody who needs things to be just perfect, maybe this isn't the time. And I think what he's saying is it might be a little cold by the time it gets to you. Maybe the 30-minute guaranteed delivery window is out the window because of the weather. If you're somebody who's going to be a stickler for these sorts of things, you know, maybe it's not the time and I don't really want to hear from you. I think if you're a reasonable human being, you go ahead, you tip pretty well, you keep your driveway cleared so it's easy to get in and out. But the last one that I thought was interesting was, if you're sitting at home hungry and thinking about going to get some takeout and you look out and go, fuck that, I'm not going out in that, and, you know, open up Uber Eats or wherever you're going to get this from and expect some 17-year-old to bring it from you and have him drive through that, maybe there's something wrong with you. Personally, I got to tell you, mine is sort of with the first guy, and that's that if you're open, I can order guilt-free. And yeah, maybe it's important to drop a couple extra bucks on the tip. But there was a lot of people that commented underneath saying, no, totally offside to order delivery in weather like that. And I'm intrigued by that. I'd love to know what you guys think. You can let us know at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, at Tall Can Audio on Instagram, or at facebook.com/tallcanaudio. I'd like to know what you think. Is it okay to call for delivery in bad weather? Or should you just shut it down and make your own food, not have somebody else driving around in that kind of weather? I think there's arguments to be made for both. But ultimately, if you open your store, it's really not my problem anymore. If you're saying that you're good to go, I'm good to eat. So let's make some magic together. Why don't we get to the main thing that we were going to talk about? I'm sitting around on Monday night, not really paying too much attention to the Leafs. I'd been away for the weekend down in Montreal, pretty tired, but I had a house full of people and hadn't been paying much attention to the hockey world. The Leafs are off until Friday, so you're not really expecting much to go down. We're sitting around talking. I get a notification and my phone starts to vibrate a little, and then it's vibrating a little more and I'm wondering what's happening. So I excuse myself for a minute and I pull my phone in. The first thing I look at is a tweet from our pal Matty Lang, who's been on the show. You can give him a follow on Twitter at Matthew Lang. Or if you're interested in more of his physio stuff, he's on Instagram at Matt Does Physio. But it's a tweet from him in which he says, is the real sports shop at the Air Canada Centre going to run out of the letter Z? What is this? What the hell are you talking about? And so I jump on to my main Twitter timeline, and of course it's blown up. The Maple Leafs have acquired from the Los Angeles Kings defenseman Jake Muzzin in exchange for NHL-ready prospect Carl Grundstrom, currently playing for the Marlies. He's off to L.A. He's going to be a bottom six NHLer, but he's ready to go. Sean Durzi, who was a draft pick this year as an overager, having an okay season in the O, currently playing for the Storm, and the Leafs' first-round pick. That's the deal. And so I'm immediately like, all right, that's a good move. We got our upgrade here. We got a guy, used to being a first pairing guy, has played a ton of minutes with Drew Doughty in LA, has a Stanley Cup ring and played for Team Canada at the World Cup back in 2016. So it's a good pickup. And my first reaction is, okay, what's his contract status? So I jump on our Cap Friendly, at capfriendly.com. We've mentioned them before. They run a great website if you're interested in all that sort of thing. And I'm really glad to see when I get there that he has another year left at $4 million after this. So that's a very manageable number for a top-pairing defenseman. And Kyle Dubas, general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, had said over and over and over, you know what? I'm not really interested in a rental, in a guy that is only going to be here a couple of months and then be gone at the end of the playoffs. I'm looking for people who are going to be here longer. So the Leafs needed help on defense. They went out and they got it. And Jake Muzzin is exactly that type of guy that they needed. And he's only making $4 million for another year after this one. Everyone knows next year is the cap crunch year for the Leafs. It's going to be hard. And they did just add $4 million to the cap. And a lot of people are saying that could be bad news for Jake Gardner. We'll see. We'll see what other moves get made. I think I'm pretty well on record here. Look, I have a very much love-hate relationship with Jake Gardner. I understand what he brings to the table and that he's very good at it. And I wouldn't mind having him for another couple of years. But the thing that happens here is that if you want to keep Jake Gardner, he has to take a hometown discount. He has to be willing to come in for way less money than he would get as a free agent. And the trade-off for doing that is years. Let's say you were going to give him $7 million per year for 3 or 4 years. That might be roughly what he gets on the free agent market. We can't afford to give him that. His number here has to be less than $5 million. And the way that gets spread out, the way that you make that work, is to give him that for 7 or 8 years. And I'm just not willing to pay Jake Gardner for that long, even at 4.5, even at 4.75, if he was willing to take it. He's into his mid-30s. He's a skating defenseman. Typically, the first thing that starts to go are your wheels. And without those, Jake Gardner is not going to be a good situation. We just cannot commit to him for that long. So that's a whole separate issue. But the Leafs did just bring in another $4 million defenseman. And quick math would suggest somebody's got to go. And it's probably going to be Jake. That's going to be rough next year. But you do now have another guy who can help you absorb that loss a little bit better. But $4 million for a guy like Jake Muzzin is a really good deal. He is on a fantastic contract. Let's circle back around just briefly before we get into a little bit more what Muzzin brings, what the Leafs have given up. And I mentioned it's Carl Grundstrom. Carl Grundstrom has had sort of an up and down start to his Leafs career, and then sort of after that, a steady up. Okay. So he was great in the Swedish league, even as a young kid. He comes over. He has a really good run with the Toronto Marlies in the playoffs and helps them get to the Calder Cup last spring. And this is his first year, full season in the American League with the Marlies. And he's just shy of a point a game, which is fine for a guy his age, 21, 22. He's physical. He goes to the net. A lot of people were talking that he might be the type of guy that would help replace JVR when he left. Not to say he's JVR, not to say he would put up those types of numbers, but he would be willing to go to the front of the net on the power play, certainly more physical than JVR in terms of going into the corners, going into to battle along the wall, that he might be a guy who could sort of help replace that. My feeling is, from looking at a lot of his numbers, he's going to make the NHL. He might make the NHL right now with the Kings, just given their depth issues. But he's long-term. He's probably a bottom six guy, you know, at best a third line guy. And you don't want to give up on too many of those guys, but you can afford to do it. Sean Durzi was the defenseman that the Leafs took, I believe, in the second round of this past June's 2018 NHL entry draft. A year earlier, Durzi was not drafted. He was eligible and not drafted. And then he comes back as an overager, in his 2018, He comes back in his 18-year-old season and plays much better. Pretty well, to be honest with you. And the Leafs take him in the second round. But it's worth noting that he's a year older than everyone else he's drafting. So those numbers are inflated just a little bit by maturity, by size, by experience over some of the peers that he had in that draft. But it looked like an okay pick in the second round. And he probably this year, as an overager, could have possibly played for the Marlies if they didn't have the defensive depth that they do. But he's a guy. I don't expect him to be an impact NHL player, but it's possible. It's possible. We just don't know yet. Some guys ripen a little later than others, but at this point, I expect him to be sort of a fringe NHL guy, but it's probably too early to say. The other piece that you gave up to get Jake Muzzin was the first round pick this year. And that's going to be anywhere from 25th to hopefully 31st if you win the cup. Look, it sucks giving up first rounders, especially when you're entering your competitive window, because things are about to get really expensive. You're going to pay Matthews a lot. You're going to pay Marner a lot. Kapanen's getting a raise. Janssen is getting a raise. They won't be to the same extent, but they need money. We talked about having added Jake Muzzin's money now to your salary cap. What do you want to do with Jake Gardner? Travis Dermott's only going to be a year away from needing a raise. You need your first rounders to be good picks that eventually come in and play on their entry-level contracts for real cheap while you're paying all these other guys a lot of money. You saw that for a long time with the Blackhawks, right? They had their core guys. They had their Taves and their Kane, their Hossa, their Seabrook, their Keith, and a bunch of guys that were young guys after that playing for cheap around those pieces. And that's supposed to come from your draft picks. And so it's hard when you trade a first-round pick. But you know what? This is where the Leafs are right now. The Leafs are ready to contend right now, especially if they add a guy like this. And the price to sit at the big boys' table is expensive. It's not easy. And the Leafs just put themselves into the mix by adding another top pair defenseman. The worst thing you could say about Jake Muzzin would be top four. I think he's a top two guy. He's done that before with Drew Doughty, and I think he's going to do it now with Morgan Riley. That's the price you pay to be in the mix, to be one of the big boys, and to sit at the big boy table. So it sucks to give up that much. I'm seeing a lot of people on the Leafs side of things going, this was a steal, you didn't give up much, Grundstrom's going to be a fourth liner, Dursey's never going to make it, and, you know, it's a bottom of the round first round pick. I'm seeing people who hate the Leafs saying, oh my God, look at how much they panicked because they were struggling before the break. They gave up all this. You start trading draft picks for... Stop. This was a good deal. And it did what it was supposed to do for both teams. The Leafs are ready to contend right now. And Jake Muzzin can help them do that right now. He couldn't help the Kings do that because they're not in that place. The Kings just got better down the road by adding three young pieces, the two prospects and the first round pick. That's how these deals are supposed to work. And when I look at it, do I wish we could have got it for cheaper? Sure. Did I think we could get Muzzin for this little? No. So I think in the end, this is probably a good deal. And when you look around, like, let's look back, not even 2 months when William Nylander was unsigned and everyone, your Nick Kyprioses and, oh my God, the slew of animals on Twitter that were telling me how overrated William Nylander was and how they should just trade him for a defenseman. They were ready to trade William Nylander for Jake Muzzin. They were ready to trade William Nylander for Pesce out of Carolina. Like, guys way worse than Muzzin. And Kyle Dubas goes out. He gets a top pair defenseman. Does he have to give up Nylander? No. Did he have to give up Kapanen? No. He didn't give up anything off the roster. He gave up two maybes and a pick. Now, those maybes could bite the Leafs in the ass. They could. But only maybe. Muzzin is a yes right now. And I love that we did this a month before the deadline. You see so often guys get brought in at the deadline, they never totally get settled, and then the playoffs are on top of you, and it just doesn't quite work out. Muzzin has been brought in, he's been given an extra 4 or 5 weeks that he wouldn't have had if the Leafs had made this deal at the trade deadline. And I think that's going to allow him to get acclimatized a little bit better. The kid's from Woodstock. He grew up as a Leafs fan. You know he's going to be jacked. He's going to get to Toronto, ready to rock. And they're going to figure this out. The thing that maybe stands out the most as a, not concern, that would be the wrong word, but you were really looking for a right-handed guy. Ideally, you have Morgan Rielly, Jake Gardner, and Travis Dermott on the left side of your defense, all of them left-handed, all of them pretty good. On the right side, you have a left-handed Ron Hainsey on the top pair, and then righties Nikita Zaitsev and Igor Ozaganov on the second and third pairs. We'll see what's going to happen there. But just not nearly as skilled as you need if you want to contend for the cup. So you're looking for right-handed guys. But obviously, the price to get one, because they're so rare, was too high. And it used to be a bit of a market inefficiency to be out there and looking for right-handed defensemen because, you know, it wasn't being talked about as much. And somewhere along the line, whether it was the 2014 Olympics, whether it was the 2016 World Cup with Mike Babcock, it became this thing that, oh my God, you have to have three lefts and three rights, and that's the only way to make this work. And that's what Babcock liked. I don't know if this is as much a thing in every market. I know right-handed defensemen are rare, and every team is trying to find them. But I know when the Leafs look to make a deal, they get held up on this all the time because everyone knows that's what Babcock wants, and so they ask for a higher price. So at some point you go, yeah, we can't find that guy. People talked about Alex Pietrangelo. He's a great defenseman. I'd love to have him. But he makes $2 million more than Jake Muzzin. And he was going to cost way more in a trade than Jake Muzzin. Here's the list that Kyle Dubas decided on in terms of priority. 1, have good players. 2, have ideal handedness. And I got to tell you, I sign off on that. You can't put what hand the guy is ahead of how good he is. And Jake Muzzin is great, so we'll figure it out. I think you're going to see Muzzin play the right side, which he's done a little bit this year in Los Angeles, playing with Alec Martinez. So he can do it. Rielly has done it before. He could be the guy who flips and Muzzin plays on his left. But Riley's having such a great season. I don't think they want to tinker with it. I don't think they want to do that. I think they're going to let him continue to do his thing, and then Muzzin will be the guy to adjust. Because he's the guy who's adjusting anyway. He's coming to a new team. He's coming to a new system. Let him be the guy who eats that, and I think he's prepared to do it. I think he can do it. Now you have Gardner and Zaitsev on your second pair. Hainsey moves down to your third pair to play with Dermott. So Hainsey's been playing the right side all year anyway. Now he's on your third pair. You don't need him to face everybody's top matchups. You don't need him to face 23 minutes a night. He's not going to be on Morgan Rielly's hip, slowing him down. As a third pair guy, I think he works pretty well, and I think there's a lot he could teach Travis Dermott, as you saw him do last year with Morgan Rielly. No, stand here. No, position yourself this way. No, try this. I think that was good for Morgan Rielly, and I think it could be good for Travis Dermott. And I think that's what you'll see. I think your top pair will be Rielly on the left, Muzzin on the right, and then Gardner on the left, Zaitsev on the right, and then Dermott on the left, and Hainsey on the right on that third pair. Ozaganov probably gets healthy scratched. You also have Marinson and Hall, who have been in the press box. Somebody's got to go. You're not going to carry 9 defensemen. We'll see what happens there. But let me tell you, despite the fact that I think that's what's going to happen, I think those are the pairs you're going to see. Let me tell you what I'd like to see. I would keep Rielly and Muzzin together on the top pair. Muzzin is 6'3 and like 225 pounds or 220 pounds. And he can bury guys on the wall. And I know we talk about this all the time, that the age of the big hit is over, the big physical defenseman is over. And to an extent, that's true. But if you can do that as part of your game instead of having that be your game, it's huge. Jake Muzzin can carry the puck out of his zone. Jake Muzzin can pass the puck out of his zone. He's not Ron Hainsey flipping it off the glass all the time or just dumping it into the neutral zone where your opponent just regroups and comes at you again. He's great at controlled exits. He has a big booming shot. He can skate, okay? He does these things beautifully, like a top pair defenseman, like a Morgan Riley, like a Jake Gardner, except he'll also bury your face if you come at him. And that is an element that this team does not have. And you can say a year ago, maybe it was Roman Polak, I guess. No, this is a part of Muzzin's game. And I want to be careful here with the comparison because I don't want you to think I'm comparing him to this guy. But think of somebody like Chris Pronger, a guy who is a number one offensive defenseman, can pass, can skate, can shoot, can do all the things a number one defenseman can do, but will also murder you if you come near his net, will also happily slam you into the boards if he gets the chance. We don't see that a lot with number one defensemen anymore. Morgan Riley doesn't do that. Erik Karlsson doesn't do that. Victor Hedman doesn't do that. You see a lot of guys now that play a lot more like Nick Lidstrom did, where it was positional, where it was skating, where it was a really good stick, and that's awesome. But if you can be both, which Muzzin sort of does, as I said, Roman Polak was a physical guy, but he sucked at everything else. You can't be a one-dimensional guy. Muzzin has it as part of his game, and that makes him so valuable. And it's going to change the dynamic of that Leaf defense as guys try and skate it in on that right side. Muzzin's just not going to allow that. So in that regard, really good deal. But let me tell you the way I would pair this up if it was up to me. And I've told you what I think it's going to be. I think it'll be Riley Muzzin, Gardner, Zaitsev, Dermott, and Hainsey. What I would do, Morgan Riley on the left with Jake Muzzin, Jake Gardner on the left with Travis Dermott on the right. So I'm moving another lefty over to the right side. And then Ron Hainsey on the left with Nikita Zaitsev on the right. Or possibly keep Hainsey on the right and bring up Callie Rosen from the Marlies and play him on the left. He's had a great year in the AHL and he's probably ready for a look, at least for a couple of games. But I think that top four, Riley Muzzin, Gardner, Dermott, can skate with any top four in the league, can pass and make plays with any top four in the league. I'm not saying they're Nashville with those horses that those guys have, but it's so much better. And then you shelter your third pair a little bit. Whether it's Rosen and Hainsey, or whether it's Hainsey and Zaitsev, they're more of a defensive zone type of pair. They're a sheltered type of pair. They're a penalty kill type of pair. But that top four, when you look at it, all those guys can skate. All those guys can move it. It would be really interesting to set it up that way. And I hope we see it at some point. I don't know that we will. Babcock can be really stubborn. But with this type of acquisition, he's going to be forced for the first time in, what, a year and a half? To change his defense pairs and to look at something different. And we haven't seen that in a while. So I'm excited at the possibility that this might be a time where the whole deck gets shuffled and let's see what it looks like at the end. Because me personally, I want to see that top four get loaded right up. So there it is. The Leafs take their shot. They go get their guy. And I think it's the right move. I think you do it early. I think you get it out of the way. I think you get him in here and get him used to playing as a Leaf, get him used to being back in Toronto under the spotlight, being back in a competitive playoff race since the Kings have been out of it for so long. Would you have preferred a righty? Yeah. But if the price was too high, just get the best guy you can. And Jake Muzzin is a quality guy with a cup ring, and he's going to do big time things for this defense corps that they just don't have anybody else who can do it quite like that. And man, when you look back at the list of defensive partners that Morgan Riley has had over the last several years and the upgrade that he's about to see, no one's happier right now than Morgan Riley. That list has names like Roman Polak on it. That list has names like Matt Hunwick on it. That list has names like Nikita Zaitsev on it, okay? He's now going to play with a true top pair guy that can allow him to go do the things that he can do. You don't have to look further than Drew Doughty. Drew Doughty was made better by Jake Muzzin. And you can look back. These things aren't hard to prove when you look at all the underlying analytics. Drew Doughty is a great defenseman on his own, but you can see a slight dip in all his numbers when Muzzin is taken away from him. Those numbers don't dip for Muzzin when he's taken away from Doughty. He carries his game with him onto any pair. I said this year he's playing with Alec Martinez, who's fine, but he's not Drew Doughty. And you haven't seen the numbers dip for Jake Muzzin, despite being played with a lesser defenseman. So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. It'll be really interesting to see how Babcock wants to play them, but this was a huge upgrade. Maybe the biggest trade the Leafs have made for a defenseman since Brian McCabe. Think about that. We're back to like the late 90s. You could toss Dion Phaneuf into that mix. But Dion didn't move the needle here. Dion still had a big name and a big reputation and big hope when he came to Toronto. But he didn't move the needle, I don't think, for a good team like Jake Muzzin is going to do this time. It's just the way he fits this group is better. So, man, this will be fascinating to see. The Leafs are off for another couple of days on their bye week before firing it back up on Friday in Detroit. I can't wait to see what this is all going to look like. In the meantime, we will try and get back in here with an episode of Tall Can Sports, with a new episode of Audio Whiplash here over the next couple of days. We'll be headed out here shortly. Also, we're going to top that keg back up. Probably easier to lure the co-host back into the studio once that happens, for obvious reasons. But we'll see how things shake out here over the next couple of days. It's been really interesting. Don't forget to let us know on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, at Tall Can Audio, what you thought about the earlier question. Is it offside to be ordering takeout in a winter blizzard? Or should you have to go and get that shit for yourself if you want to be partaking? My name is Matt Robinson. This has been Unforced Errors number 73 on the Tall Can Audio Network. And we'll see you all later.
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better. I wanted it to go better!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.